السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله عز وجل في القرآن المجيد: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد. We begin by praising Allah. We praise Him, even though our praise will never do justice to the praise that He deserves. We ask Allah for guidance in every single step of life that we take, because we can never be guided without His help. And we ask Allah to forgive us for our mistakes that we've made and that we know that we're going to make in this journey. As Muslims, we declare that nobody deserves to be worshipped besides the one and only true God, and that is Allah. And we declare that Muhammad was the last and final messenger sent for our guidance and for the guidance of all humanity. Brothers and sisters, if I asked you whether you've ever told a lie in your life, I think there's probably not a single person in this room who could say no. Because people tell lies sometimes. But a more interesting question is, how often do you lie? There's an interesting study that was done in 2010. It was a small study. They surveyed 1,000 Americans. And these are pretty much non-Muslims. But whatever afflicts Americans in our society also has some level of impact on the Muslim community. So they surveyed 1,000 Americans and they asked them a question. They asked them, how many times have you lied in the past 24 hours? Not in the last year, not in the last month, not in the last week, just in the last 24 hours. And the results were shocking. 40% of people admitted that they had lied in the past 24 hours. In fact, some of them said that they had lied more than once within the past 24 hours. And I bet you some people lied in the survey, so the number should be even greater. So what happened though is that that's a lot of lies. 40% of people admitted. So they did an average and they tallied it up. And they realized that the average person in that survey, average American according to that survey, had lied 1.65 times in the past 24 hours. You do the math and you multiply, and that's 602 lies per year. That's a lot of lies. There was another study that was done by the University of Massachusetts in 2002. And what they found was that 60% of adults could not carry out a 10-minute conversation without telling a lie. How did they come up with that? They had students volunteer for a research experiment. So they put him in a room and they said, we want you to talk to this other person and we want you to just try to get along with them. Just talk to them about whatever you want. So he said, we're trying to measure the way in which you interact with other people. But they actually lied to the people. They were secretly recording them. And after the experiment was done, they said, we want you to come and look at the video recording. We're very sorry that we lied to you. But if you accept, we want you to watch the video and tell us during the 10 minutes, did you tell any lies? And many of them signed up and said, yes, we're willing to do that. And when they watched, the students were surprised. They couldn't imagine that they had actually lied during the conversation. They didn't even recognize that they were lying. And then when they watched themselves in video, they said, you know what? That part wasn't true. And that other part wasn't true. So the students themselves who were lying didn't even realize that they were lying. And the researchers did not expect that 60% of them couldn't take a 10-minute conversation without telling a lie. So it was shocking. It means that people lie a lot. And we know what Islam says about lying. Lying is something which is forbidden in Islam. It's not even a forbidden issue. Lying is an immorality. Lying is something that we're not supposed to be doing at all. But what do people lie about? People lie about a lot of things. And among the things that they lied the most on, according to one study, is that one category was resumes. People lie on their resumes when they're trying to get a job. So what they'll do is they'll put that they have more work experience than they actually have. And one study showed that 30% of resumes in the United States have a bunch of lies on them. Like people are lying on their resume, putting degrees and experience where they actually don't have that. And the second most common reason or, you know, category in which people were lying was their online dating profiles. Or for Muslims, you know, online marriage potential profiles. People were lying a lot. And they said that women on average claimed to weigh 8.5 pounds less than they actually weigh. Why? Because that's what guys tend to focus on and that's what they're looking for. But the lie was the other way around too. They said guys on average, they lied about their height, added a few inches, because that's what girls are looking for. They lied about their weight and they, not about their weight. They lied about their wealth. So if you're making, you know, 80K, you say, you know, I'm hoping to make 120 in a few years. So they just threw it up to their hopes within the next 5 years. And they lied about their education. All of a sudden, the bachelor's degree just comes into a, inshallah, it counts as like a master's degree. Because that's what people are looking for. And that's very problematic. Because people are lying about something very significant that's going to impact their life, but it's still dishonesty. So what we need to do is we need to understand that why is it that Islam teaches us? Why is it that Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have taught us that honesty is so important? It's not just halal and haram. There's a reason behind it. What kind of world would you live in if people are constantly lying to each other? What kind of society would you develop? Just think about it for a moment. If you had a close friend of yours, or even a co-worker or colleague or something like that, and when you find out that they're lying to you, how does it affect your relationship with that person? Are you willing to trust them? Does it kind of make things colder between the two of you? Of course it does. It has an impact. So lying is not only something that's like intrinsically wrong, it has a societal effect. Whether it's a big lie or whether it's a small lie. So we need to be very, very careful about these things. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he set such a high standard for us. Listen to this hadith. This is a hadith in the Sunan of Imam Abu Dawud, and it's an authentic hadith. He said that Abdullah ibn Amir tells this story about what happened. He was an old man later on, but he was narrating this story when he was a child. And he says, قال دعتني أمي يوما ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قاعد في بيتنا. He said, one day, my mother called me while I was inside the house of the Messenger of Allah, and his mother was there too. And فقالت ها تعال أعطيك. She said to the child, come here and I will give you something. So a lot of parents, they do this, right? The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is visiting, he's in the same place, and she calls the child over. Sometimes the child is not moving. So what do parents do? They resort to the carrot or the stick, right? The carrot is like you entice them, you know, come over here, I'll give you some candy. Come over here, I'll give you something, I'll take you to the park. Or the stick. If you don't come here, no video games for you. If you don't come here, you know, we're not going to go to the park or something like that. So this woman, she is using what they call the carrot, meaning the incentive, right? Come over here and I'm going to give you something. You know, I give you some candy or something like that. Because the child's not moving. And sometimes when you're calling your kids, come on over here. Stuck in like a zone, like dazed out, not moving. So she calls him. So the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he asked her, he said, فَقَالَ لَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَمَا أَرَدْتِ أَن تُعْتِي. What did you want to give this child? Like, what are you going to give him if he comes? Because the child came. So he's, what were you planning on giving him? Now just stop for a moment. This is the Messenger of Allah. This is somebody who's a prophet. This is somebody who's receiving revelation. This is somebody who's so busy in his own life. He's meeting with leaders. He's teaching his companions. He's worrying about attacks on the city of Medina. He's praying all night, or you know, most of the night. So many things he's doing. And yet, he takes time out of his busy schedule, as we say today, and he goes and he asks, what are you going to give this child? Possibly because he was skeptical. He thought, you know what? Maybe she's trying to trick this child. So I have to teach a very important lesson here. So he puts her on the spot. And he says, I want to know what you're going to give him. قَالَتْ أُعْطِيهِ تَمْرًا. She said, I'll give him a date. A date at that time was like candy. You know, it's like candy for children. Date's sweet. It's got a lot of, you know, natural sugar in it. It's healthy too, but, you know, it's sweet. Tastes good, especially sukkari dates and sugar dates and things like that. So she said, I was going to give him a date. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, either maybe he's teaching a general lesson, or maybe he was skeptical of whether she really was going to do something. He said, فَقَالَ لَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to her, أَمَا إِنَّكِ لَوْ لَمْ تُعْطِيهِ شَيْئًا كُتِبَتْ عَلَيْكِ كِذْبًا. He said, if you don't give this child something for him coming over, a lie will be written against you. Meaning you're going to have to be held accountable for this action on the Day of Judgment in front of Allah. It's a very serious thing. So if you think about this for a moment, this is a very high standard. Why? Because most children, what are they going to do? Most children, they won't even remember. If you know, parents sometimes they promise things to their kids. And if they're like really, really young, later on, they're not going to even remember that. They get distracted, their mind can't focus or something like that. Some kids, though, you have to be very careful. Some parents, they make a big mistake. They don't realize that children, the ones who remember, they take it very personally later on in life. You promise your son, you promise your daughter, you finish all your homework, I'm going to take you to the park. And then later on, they have no intention to take them to the park. So can we go to the park? Oh, it's too late now. If you get straight A's, I'm going to take you to Legoland. And then when it comes time to Legoland, oh, the ticket prices came up, it's not a good time and all that. And they think it's not a big deal. But you know what? Some kids, they will remember that for the rest of their life. And they grow up and they have this resentment towards their parents. My parents always lied to me. They would always try to incentivize me with something and they would never keep their word. So parents, be very careful. Be very careful about this. But still, many kids would even forget. And the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is trying to say to this woman, and setting a standard for everyone, that even if you lie in the smallest of things to somebody who is relatively insignificant, who may not even remember it, you're still going to have to account for it on the Day of Judgment. So lying is something very serious. Whether it's a big lie on your resume and on your online marriage profile, or whether it's some little tiny lie that someone wouldn't even remember, it's still a lie. So we need to take it very seriously. So he has this idea of the little white lie is not becoming of a Muslim. And a standard has been set for us, and we need to be very careful about that. But in society, people even lie about the most useless of things. And this is where it becomes even more sad. They lie when there's almost no benefit whatsoever. There was a British film rental company which surveyed whether people had watched certain films. So they were going and checking. They wanted to see what type of films are people watching. What kind of movies do they watch? So they listed a bunch of movies and they said, who has watched this and who has watched this? And they asked a question about the 1972 crime film, The Godfather. It was considered to be like one of the most popular movies in American culture, right? This is one of the most influential movies of all time. Some people have watched it, some people haven't watched it. But what was surprising is that 3 out of 10 respondents, they said that they watched the film, but they lied. So he said, why would you lie about something like that? So then they asked him, oh yeah, you watched The Godfather? What was your favorite part? Can't respond. Oh yeah, well, you remember that one scene? Don't remember anything. So they got caught lying about watching a film that they never watched for something so useless. It wasn't even in person. It was an online survey. So then this was part of an experiment. They said, well, why are people lying about that? So they asked them and they said, well, you know, we just heard that the movie is so popular in American culture and stuff. We didn't want to be like the only ones who have not seen it. So we just said, yeah, we've seen it too, because everyone kind of knows about it. Everyone kind of talks about it. And that's a part of the problem. Part of the problem is people are afraid of being like the oddball out. When you're standing in front of a group of people and they're all talking about something, and then everyone's like, yo, did you eat at that new halal restaurant? So good. They had like, you know, chicken tenders. And you're like, yeah. And the other person goes, yeah. And you didn't eat there. But you don't want to be the only one who's not eaten at the new restaurant, because you're going to be like, I'm the only person. People are looking at me strangely. So you go, yeah. It was really good. But you're lying. This is where we need to be careful. This is where a Muslim needs to stop, and you need to ask yourself this question. The amount of discomfort that you're going to have due to the social pressure of the people around you, they're going to look at you a little bit funny. They'll be like, you're the only one who hasn't been there? You're the only one who never watched this? You're the only one who hasn't seen this video or, you know, seen that tweet or something like that? The amount of discomfort that you get from that, think about what your discomfort is going to be on the Day of Judgment when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your deeds are going to be listed out to you and Allah is going to say you lied on this specific thing, and you're going to be held accountable for that. It's going to come back to you on the Day of Judgment. Which discomfort is greater? For a Muslim, any discomfort in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment would be worse than anything we can experience in this life. So don't worry about these little things. It's okay. You know what? If you didn't see the movie and you didn't eat the food or you didn't do this, you're the only one. People are like, oh, I can't believe you didn't know about that. It's okay. When it comes to a joke, everyone's laughing, and you start laughing too. And you go, did you get the joke? Yeah, I got it. And you didn't understand the joke because you were feeling uncomfortable. Sometimes we go into that situation. What matters most is your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What matters is to do the right thing, to say the right thing, and that's not deceiving people, even if it's something small. This is one concept of lying. There's another concept that's tied to honesty and truthfulness. And that is the idea of amana. Amana means trust. Like when somebody puts their trust in you, like they're relying on you. The Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith narrated by Imam al-Tirmizi, he said, "Addil amanata ila man i'tamanak." He said, fulfill the right or fulfill the responsibility of the one who has entrusted you with something. So this idea of amana is very, very important. And we need a constant reminder all the time. Amana is basically where somebody goes and trusts you about something. So let's say, you know, they loan you a book. I know people don't really read so many books, unfortunately. They loan you something, right? They loan you their phone. They loan you their car. That's an amana now. That's a trust in your hands. And they're hoping and expecting you to give that thing back in the right way, in the same way that you had given to them. So if you loan somebody a book, comic book, whatever it may be, and then all of a sudden your kids come, your kids start bending the pages, your daughter comes, starts writing on it, and then you return it back to them afterwards. Have you fulfilled the amana? No. You've messed up the thing that they entrusted you with. They did you a favor, and you give it back, and it's messed up. That's not the characteristic of a Muslim. Somebody loans you, lets you borrow their car. What do? Had a full tank of gas, with the gas prices right now so expensive. Full tank of gas, you drive it around, you come back, you deliver it with half a tank of gas. You spilled your coffee, didn't even bother to clean it up. And you're like, yeah, thanks for the car. That is not fulfillment of amana. The bare minimum is to at least fulfill it and give it back exactly the way that it was. But a Muslim doesn't even do that. A Muslim should be going above and beyond that and do ihsan. Ihsan means excellence. That the tank of gas was half full. Before you return it, you fill it up. You give it back to them. You didn't spill any coffee, but you know what? You put some air freshener in there. Say, you know what? I thought you would appreciate this. I cleaned it up a little bit for you. You do something nice because the person was being nice to you. You do something even nicer to them. That should be the way. Even when it comes to appointments, right? Fulfilling the amana, the idea of amana is something that we should take seriously. Sometimes people, they don't value other people's time. If a person values their own time, and you say, I'm going to meet you there at 8 o'clock. What do you say? It's okay. Show up at 8:30. Show up at 9. It's not a big deal. The person is sitting there and waiting for you. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went through something very similar. Even before he was a prophet, he would be at the spot waiting for someone. One time a person forgot about the appointment. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was sitting there and he would show up at the same spot for 3 days in a row. He wasn't even a prophet yet. He had that high character. That's the way a Muslim should be. Now, sometimes you never know, right? When it comes to some wedding invitations, this is something we can never, doesn't look like it's going to get resolved. People put 5 p.m. and then people who don't understand that 5 p.m. means 7 p.m. In some cultures, it means 8 p.m. Some cultures, it means 9 p.m. No one's going to come on time at all. Only the most people understand what the right addition is. You're supposed to add 2 hours or you add 3 hours. The point is this. If people understand and expect something from you, it becomes an amana. Hard to calculate sometimes. We need some work on this in the community. But when someone's expecting something from you, it's your responsibility to fulfill that thing. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people who tell the truth, who avoid lying, and who fulfill their trusts. Ameen. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al-muslimin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. We talked about the severity of lying and the importance of telling the truth. Now, somebody's going to ask, are there any exceptions to the rule? Like, is there any situation in which we can lie? And the answer is yes, in an extreme circumstance. What's an extreme circumstance? Somebody is, injustice is taking place. Somebody's trying to go and kill an innocent person. They're hiding inside, your house. They come to you and they say, where is this person? Is he inside? Okay, you're trying to save a person's life. The general rule here is there's going to be a great amount of harm that takes place if you tell the truth in this situation, and there's going to be almost no benefit. So when that level reaches that level, that's going to be an exception to the rule. But what's going to happen is when people learn exceptions to the rule, they're going to start to try to apply it to themselves. And they're going to be like, you know what? You're driving, you're late to class. And then you say, teacher, I'm late to class because there was a lot of traffic. And by traffic, you're twisting the word and you're like, yeah, there were normal amount of cars on the road. And you're trying to just justify something. And you say, I'm technically, you can twist the words around and all that. What are you doing? You're trying to avert some small amount of harm from yourself for some personal benefit. That's not an exception to the rule. So be very careful. when it comes about making exceptions to the rule, because exceptions are exceptions. And the default rule almost across the board is going to be always speak the truth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our tongues. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our minds and to purify our hearts. O Allah, help us to do only that which will please you and keep us away from doing anything which will displease you. O Allah, help all those people who are going through difficulties and who are suffering, whether it be with physical or mental illnesses or problems in their family. O Allah, make it a purification for them and help them through their difficulty. O Allah, show us the truth is truth and let us follow it. Show us the false is false and keep us away from it. Ameen. Subhanu rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa qim as-salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala salati, hayya 'alal falah. Qad qamatish salatu, qad qamatish salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Stawa atadilun, please make sure your line is straight, shoulder to shoulder. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين إهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون ختم الله على قلوبهم وعلى سمعهم وعلى أبصارهم غشاوة ولهم عذاب عظيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Somebody else want to do this? I should do it. Okay. Shall I please remember the Please remember the following people. Dua for Shifa, for cure, for Brother Muhammad Rafi', Brother Haytham Bandukji, Brother Bilal Dilati, Sister Rima Dilati, and Ibrahim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a cure, a full cure, and purification for their sins for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant maghfirah for the people who have passed away, Brother Muhyiddin, Brother Ghalib Ali Ahmad Abu Zaid, Brother Mustafa Usama Gamil, and Brother Sharif Muhammad Manim, Brother Maher Mustafa, Babi Hawa Amini, and Babi Rabia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of them maghfirah and enter them into Jannah.